Boom! What's going on, everyone? This is Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. Today, I thought it'd be kind of cool to show you how I find my big idea.
I've spent the last 4 years learning from the most brilliant marketers today. And now I've left my 9-to-5 to take the plunge and build my million-dollar business. The real question is, how will I do it without VC funding or debt, completely from scratch? This podcast is here to give you the answer. Join me and follow along as I learn, apply, and share marketing strategies to grow my online business using only today's best internet sales funnels. My name is Steve Larson, and welcome to Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, my friends? Hey, we're actually going to cut over to a Facebook Live I did here in a little bit. A few of these episodes moving forward will be that. Part of the benefit I like of doing it in front of live audiences is that I can see the reactions of others and make sure I'm developing and delivering value. So we're going to cut over there just a little bit, but one of the most frequent questions I asked myself at the beginning of trying to build something is probably likely the same one that you've struggled with if you are not actively selling yet. What do I sell, right? And you're trying to figure out also what is the idea that you're going to go out and jump out after. So this is actually kind of a cool live because somebody asked that question and I ended up, I taught like a solid 20-30 minute thing, just walking through what it is and some things to think about while you're thinking about what should you sell. And since, you know, it's interesting because I was already publishing. As I started coming up with my big idea, right, and I'd already been publishing for a while. I think some of the power of what you're about to see is you're going to see things that I went through as I was going through them and realizing, oh my gosh, I should go try and be the offer guy, right? So I think that's the power of this. So we're actually going to cut over there right now, and I hope you guys enjoy this. If you are struggling at all or if you're trying to get validation on what it is that you're going and trying to sell, This could be a very powerful episode for you guys. Please take notes let me know if you could. Please let me know how you guys are enjoying this show. If you guys go to sfrreview.com, as in Sales Funnel Radio Review, sfrreview.com, that actually would be very, very helpful. And I would love to know what it is, the biggest thing that you guys are, that you guys have enjoyed. I like to go through and check out and those platforms. One of the things we're starting to do is I like to look at and to see who's leaving cool reviews, and then I will go do extra fun little cool things for you as well. Scratch my back, I scratch yours, right? So if you guys go to sfrreview.com, leave an honest review on how you think this show's been going, how you think I've been doing, I'd love to hear that. Let's cut over though, and let's spot check your big idea. What's up, my friends? Nice, nice, nice. How do you find your one thing for the webinar? It's a great question, Daniel. So when it comes to webinars, you have to understand, it's not actually how I just create the one thing for just the webinar. It's actually the one thing that represents the core of the entire business. Okay. The entire business. So when I'm creating a blue ocean, right? I'm the category king of two different oceans right now. One was accidental. One's totally on purpose. But the thing that causes that blue ocean is an idea more than a product. Okay. The product just fulfills on the idea, but the thing that really inflates it for the first time, that blue ocean, because the blue ocean doesn't exist, right? It doesn't exist. And too many times, this is what happens. People stand up and they'll be like, I got this brand new product. Where am I going to go sell it? And if you can imagine yourself on an island and you're waking up one day for an island. Yeah. And I wake up and I've got knickknacks and trinkets that I sell, right? And I wake up and I put all my knickknacks and my trinkets inside of this cart. I get out of my hut. I live on this island. Where am I going to push my cart to go sell my goods? Where all the people already are, right? Just because my product is new doesn't mean I go to a place that's new and deserted on the island to sell it. That's what most people do though. Just because their product is new. No one's doing what I've done. They go to some obscure place on the island where nobody is. I'm over here because we're different, right? That's stupid. No, you take your new product and you push it to where everybody already is. That makes sense? So the whole purpose of it, it's a great question, Daniel. The purpose of it is to go in and whatever your product is, which is new, right? Especially with an offer, your products don't necessarily need to be that new, but your offer, right? That's the new thing, truly. You could have tons of stuff that people have already sold, right, as products, but then they're bundled together as an offer. And who do you go sell it to? Wherever there's the most foot traffic, okay? Back to the Red Ocean. The Red Ocean is the place that buys it. Okay. Over time though, your market changes. Okay. Your market, Your marketplace is probably a better way to start saying that. Your marketplace changes from the red, where all the competition is, and you want that. Competition is very good. But then as you're progressing, your market changes, because what happens? You have a new offer, you have a new product, you have something that's brand new, something that's never existed, which is really awesome. You're selling it to an existing marketplace, but as people are buying it, you're pulling them with an idea over into a new blue ocean, right? The new vehicle is more, it's almost more of an idea than it is a product, okay? The product just fulfills on it, like I'm saying. So go in, and so when you start thinking about it, like, how can I create cool value, right? You create, solve a legitimate problem. And for those of you that are coming to OfferMind, which I hope you guys are, this is the stuff I talk about with pictures and drawings and formulas and maps and all this stuff. Someone asked, like, Stephen, where are all these formulas you were forever talking about? They're at OfferMind, okay? They're just why I'm dropping it out there. So anyway, like, come to OfferMind, because that's the stuff that we talk about and we teach in there, is like, here's what you look for in a red ocean. Here's how you know what your ocean even is. Here's what an ocean is, period, a market. By the way, here's the things to look for. Here's how you create the new offer for it. Here's how you launch it back to that red ocean, right? It's very granular. I appreciate teaching, like, theory's cool. I love teaching mindset stuff. That's really my main role with the One Funnel Away Challenge. But at the heart of it, I think some of that stuff gets fluffy, right? I want formulas. I want patterns. I want maps. That's the stuff. I want blueprints. That's the stuff that I get motivated over. And so what you do is you go in and you see what this red ocean is suffering from already. This is very key, my friends, because many copywriting courses that are out there say, at the beginning of your copy, what you're going to do is you're going to create the problem so then you can bring in the solution, right? Many infomercials are created that way. And you're like, crap, that is a problem, right? And I'm not saying it doesn't work, but what I'd rather do is find a group of people who already have a problem. I don't have to create the problem. And I'm just going to go in and I'm going to solve a legitimate problem in a highly competitive red ocean, which means a lot of people are having it. Okay. I'm going to solve it with an idea and my product will be blue, but I will sell it to the red. Over time, though, my market changes. And as people start to buy it and they're getting siphoned off over into this blue ocean, suddenly, what's easier, to sell people who you've never sold before? Or is it easier to sell people who are already a customer of yours? Second money's always easier than first money. So I'm going to go in and as people are leaving the red and they're coming over to the blue, you start getting a little pocket of people over here who are your current buyers. Ooh, oh, my friends, therein lies power, power, power. Okay, it's a super good book. I got two new bookshelves. We've got stacks of books still all over. I think I dropped another $500 on books coming. I'm a geek, man. I'm a geek, but geeks get paid, so whatever. I can't find the book now. I'm looking for it. I think it's on the other shelf. Anyway, in the book Ready, Fire, Aim, what's cool about that book is it says that although your main purpose at the beginning is to go in and get a qualified mass of customers, eventually what you want to do is you want to sell something to your existing customer base that's more expensive. What's cool about gaining a lot of customers quickly, even at a cheap price, it makes any subsequent offer or product that you drop on them afterwards highly likely to succeed right out of the gate, because so many of your existing customers will purchase it. Does that make sense? So understand this concept, okay? That this red ocean, so Daniel, the answer to this question here is a little bit longer than you might be thinking, but like, how do I come up with my one main thing? What it really is, the one main idea, I don't come up with it. And I think that's something that's tripped me up for a long time. Don't come up with it. Go to a highly, insanely competitive red ocean, something that was exactly the opposite that I was taught in college. Go to one of those, figure out the problems that they are already having, and then I rank them. Something that I'll bring you guys through in far more detail than I did in the last OfferMind, I'm going to bring you through what I call the core problem planner. And what we do is we grab, this is what I do, is my method. I came up with it. I call it the core problem planner. Each one of your businesses should solve a core issue. So what I'm going to go do is I'm going to go and I'm going to look at this red ocean and we're going to figure out what the problems are they're already experiencing. I don't need to create the problem. It already exists. Then what happens is I'm going to go in and I'm going to start ranking the problems against the series of criteria, because not all problems are created equal. Not all problems, when I say them, are understood by everybody in the red. Not all problems are something people are willing to pay money for. Not all problems are true things, right? I love, guys, I love comedy. I actually listen to a lot of comedy. It's one of my ways to stay in state control. And one of my favorite comedians, we're going to go see Jim Gaffigan front row in Idaho soon. He's in like 2-3 weeks. I'm really excited about. Another one of my favorite comedians is Dimitri Martin. And Dimitri Martin has this funny joke where he's talking about public bathrooms. And he's like, and he goes, he says, let me make sure I set it up right. He said, the automatic paper towel dispenser is a solution to a thing that was never a problem, right? Oh, you know how like people just like put their hand out and they grab a paper towel and they pull it and then they like have a paper towel? And he's like, yeah, we're going to change that. Why? Well, we thought it'd be fun if people act like they're magicians and then have to conjure the paper towel out of the sensor. We're going to like make it all complicated with lasers and crap. That sounds stupid. No, we're going to stop there. Toilets? You know, like you can like sit there and like you stand up, you turn around, you flush. Yeah, we're going to change that all too. We're going to make it so when you move like a millimeter, you got a typhoon that explodes beneath your butt. But it's true, right? And it's like, it's a funny, I love that skit. But what's funny about that is he's right. If you watch Shark Tank, I love watching Shark Tank, not because I believe in VC funding. I like seeing the ideas people come up with. But lots of times people come up with these ideas that they came up with. That's wrong. It shouldn't come from you, right? And so what I'm going to go do is like, I want to bring you all through the core problem planner where you take problems that they're already experiencing and then you rank them. You rank them according to several things. How easily can I talk about the product and people understand, or I'm sorry, how easy can I talk about the problem, not the product, the problem. You lead with the problem, not the solution. These are all opposites of things I was taught in college that have made the difference for me. And so that's, when it comes down to it, like, it's a good question, Daniel. I don't come up with the main idea. I don't come up with it. It shouldn't come from me. I'm not the one filling my own wallet. I'm not the one who's going to be paying for this thing, right? What I do is I go into the red ocean and rank out all the different core problems that people are having. I'm sorry, rank out the problems, and I start looking through it. And based on a bunch of criteria, I find what I call the core problem. My entire new idea, my entire new blue ocean, my entire new opportunity is based on me now solving that core problem. That's why I call it the core offer. The core offer solves the core problem. That makes sense? I'm very methodical about the way I pull this stuff out. It's not just like, come up with something that's sweet. That's freaking risky. No, okay? I'm an entrepreneur and I'm okay with risk, but I want to be calculated. So the thing that I've come up with over the last like 2 or 3 years is how to go through and identify those things.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho. May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Things, rank them, create what I call the core offer. This is what my book is about. Okay. Still writing it, obviously. But Offer Mind goes into this stuff. It's just me. I'm going to teach this whole framework to you guys day one. Day number two, what I'm going to do is we got Russell coming in. Dana Derricks is coming in. I'm talking with Myron Golden, and it was a soft yes yesterday. We're trying to make sure dates are fine. Okay. I'm going to try and get Mark Joyner, some of the Bill Glazer. There's not many people on this planet anymore who are huge into offer creation. I have a very unique take on it. But the main idea, the big idea, is not something that I come up with anymore. It is fueled by the red. They're the ones that are already having the problem. And I want to make sure that they are having the problem before I go build a whole freaking business over it. Okay. Then it becomes very easy for me to get a lot of attention. Okay. Very easy. Check this out. All I do is in my blue ocean messaging, I just become the anti-red. That's it. That's how I think about it. I'm not a professional copywriter, but we make really good money. And it's because of that. I choose whatever that problem is that the majority of them are having, and I become the anti-red. Okay? So like a lot of you guys know, I sell in the MLM space, right? It's real easy to get it really intense in that space. Why? What is the vehicle everyone is convinced gives them success in MLM? What's the vehicle? What's the method that they are all taught? Talk to who? Friends and family. So I'm the anti-red, man. I've never been on a three-way call. I don't do hotel meetings. I'm doing that crap, okay? I am very anti that in my messaging. Does that make sense? I become the anti-red of the method that they're all using and believe causes success. Who does that call out? It calls out those who are inside the red ocean and feeling that same pain. And then they perk up and go, I didn't know there was another option, okay? It perks those up who are already sold on whatever concepts are there. I don't need to go sell people into MLM. This whole thing's freaking automated. We recruit several people a day so now, which is awesome. I don't talk about it. It's a back-end business for me, right? It's awesome. And then I just give them the same things. You see what I'm saying? I do the same thing with offer creation stuff, right? I sell to people in the ClickFunnels space, and I sell to them in the ClickFunnels space because they're already sold on things like ClickFunnels, and they're already taking their wallet out, and they're voting with their wallets and not their mouths. And then what do? I don't become the anti-ClickFunnels. I become the anti of the methodology that most of them use to get success with ClickFunnels. I'm never going to be anti or throw rocks at ClickFunnels. That'd be stupid. I'm complementary, not competitive to ClickFunnels, right? Does that make sense? What I have learned here and the reason why I'm going so much on this, and thank you for the question, Daniel. One of the things I've learned from this is that if I go in and I try to come up with the idea on my own, it's almost guaranteed fail out of the gate. It's far more risky. I'm not saying it won't win. I'm saying the chances of it are smaller of winning. Okay. What I've also learned is that positioning in relation to vehicles and solutions or products that are already out there, markets that already exist. Okay. My positioning in relation to those things is a high signifier of how likely I will be successful rather than how good is my product. That's sketchy stuff for me to say. I probably will ruffle some feathers with a few professors saying that kind of thing. But I have found more frequently that people have success faster off of the premise of how did you position yourself in relation to the existing red ocean rather than let's go make a product that's brand new, prolific, that something's never seen before. That helps. But I've seen far more people from the get-go have D and F level funnel building skills, D and F level, right? Offer creation, sales message writing, terrible at promoting, terrible on podcasting or whatever, right? They're not a good attractive character, but since they've positioned themselves as the anti-red, it speaks to a pain point that the red ocean is already experiencing, and they see it and they go, crap, I've been looking. I just didn't know which one I should go choose, right? And then you become the obvious choice. The book Play Bigger talks about that quite a bit. Right? So I lead with the problem, not the solution. And then they assume I have the best solution. Okay. I lead with me understanding what the issues currently are, not with how can I create a problem so that they'll buy my solution. That sucks. A lot of people teach that, and I'm very against that. Does that make sense? So it's like a long question, but like, or a long answer to that question, Daniel, but like, seriously, I can't answer that without going into that a little bit more, because it's such a fundamental thing. It doesn't come from me. It is fueled by those that I hope buy it. Okay. And it makes it less risky, right? It means I don't have to be this creative psycho genius. It means I can be a detective. It means I can understand the frameworks, like kind of the things I'm talking about right here, which is just super high. You know, this is a 30,000 foot view of it. I'm gonna teach more of the actual thing at OfferMind, which is why I want you guys to come. Hey, that's what we're doing. That's what OfferMind is. It's not me just standing up and freaking monologuing. It is extremely proven out methods and models for causing cash, regardless of price point, industry, or product. Okay, and it will get you so much closer to launching something that's good enough to make a lot of money, right? Than just let's come up with something new. That sucks. Okay. Do that under the premise of what I'm talking about. And then it's a lot more security for you guys. Does that make sense? Anyways, OfferMind funnel will be out possibly tomorrow. It's a heavy interview day for me, or was. So maybe, anyways, it might be out tomorrow. If not, probably anyways, this week. And we only have 100 VIP seats. That's not a joke. We're actually capping it that way. Last year, there was like 80% VIP. And I was like, that makes it not VIP. It makes those who aren't VIP more VIP than the current VIP. Anyway, so I'm excited. So it will be out. We have some epic opportunities. Those of you guys who are choosing a VIP, we have, we're going to put you guys' name and bio and a way to contact you in a book on everyone's chairs. It's super sick. Anybody who wants to get their ad in front of everybody, I made it super cheap for everyone to go in, and I'll put your ad on everyone's chair. It's super cool. I haven't seen anyone run an event like this. And anyway, it'll be fun. So understand that when I'm going around and I'm creating the content for this kind of stuff, I literally walk through my bookshelves and I think to myself, what are the issues that everyone's experiencing still? How can I help people identify a red ocean more? How can I help people know what to look for when they have found the red ocean? What is it that people need to understand about the red that fuels the blue? What is it about the blue that makes it so attractive for the red? Does that make sense? Those are those kinds of questions that I look for. And I read the most geeky, boring, dry books that have ever been written on the face of this planet to try and figure out those answers for you. And I go into deep dives. I call it the Bat Cave. And my whole floor becomes a studio, right? It becomes a study session place. And I take out all these, I take out all these legal pad pieces of paper. It's a lot of legal pads. And I write core ideas and I will group them in corners of the room. That corner of the room was this idea. Okay, that corner of the room is this idea. And I'm writing down pieces of papers. I'm studying and doing deep dives and learning things and remembering things I learned at the foot of Russell, right next to his desk. And I'm going, it's not, I hate rah-rah, okay? If any of you guys think I'm a motivational speaker, I'm so sorry. That means I am failing. I am not a motivational speaker. You might find it motivating, but I'm not a motivational speaker. What I like to go do, though, is dive into patterns, and that's kind of what my unique ability is. So it took me several years to find that out. when I was in elementary school, I had a hard time knowing what I was good at. Okay, and it was like an active conversation with my parents. Well, maybe you're kind of good at this, you know, seriously. Anyway, it's kind of sad, but like, they're like, maybe you're good at this. Maybe you're good at that. You know what? It'd be really cool if you could go try this. And I was like, yeah, I'm not that good at that. Like, not that I had to be good in order to continue pursuing something, but the thing that I kept trying to figure out was what is it that I actually do? And some of you guys, I know, are struggling with that. So just know that the answer, it's coming. Stay in the pursuit of those things. And anyway, that's what OfferMind's about. And understanding the core idea in my mind, Daniel, I didn't know you'd pull this out of me. Thank you so much. It cannot come from me. It can't, right? I am not the creator of the blue oceans that I run. I am the facilitator for the solution, right? I'm the facilitator. I'm the orchestrator. I'm like, I don't know how to play that instrument, but y'all want it. And I know someone who's probably good at fulfilling that. Boom, why don't you come in here? Boom, why don't you come in here? Okay. So that's way, way better. Okay. The hashtag beautiful mind. Yeah. Are y'all real? When is OfferMind for sale? We only have 1,000 seats. Okay. It's technically 1,038. Okay. 100 of that is VIP. I have a lot of guests coming as well. We have, if you guys saw the recordings at all from last time, they are freaking beautiful. Oh my gosh. We have, anyway, we got a lot of people coming, and I kind of expect that it's going to sell out kind of quick, especially because Russell's coming, which is awesome. And it was cool because I was able to go in and I was able to give a free ticket away with the first One Funnel Away challenge. I can't do that anymore. It costs a butt ton of money to run an event that big. Right. I don't, we're not like making money on, you understand? Like it's not, anyway, just come. Cause I'm going to just get to do a massive dissertation with you guys. Someone said, last year's OfferMind was amazing. I'm stoked to go again. I'm excited to have you guys. It'd be really, really cool. But the tickets are going to go quick. Is OfferMind an event? Yes, that's my event. That's my personal event. And I was tired of everyone calling things something con. Event con. I don't want to be offer con. Everyone's con. It's like, no, let's call it OfferMind, right? It's kind of like mastermind, but with an offer. That's why I made that. And it was originally supposed to be 40 people per event. And then everyone loved my offers. And now it's a 1,000-person event. Let's see. Nice. Live events can change lives. Yeah. So excited for OfferMind. Hey, Justin Stevens. Great show, by the way. Hey, I agree with that. I don't know why. And for some, I got to be honest with you guys. I used to make fun of live events a little bit. Be like, oh, they just want money. Or they just get in like this rah-rah state and crap like that. And so I was a little bit of a skeptic. And then I went to some, and I was like, that is actually, it's like I took 2 semesters of college, what I learned in that time period, and forced it into 2 days. You know, I feel like it's actually how you take a year and force it into a day or two of what it would take in you a lot of money and time and energy and effort. So anyway. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Hey, I know this game can take a few tries to get the money flowing, especially the first time, right? And that can suck. I also know from experience how frustrating it can be to know your business is just a few tweaks away from your next big payday, but you don't know what tweaks to make. I've felt completely paralyzed by that in the past, and it sucks. I've been blessed to work with thousands of new and successful businesses over the last 3 years, and 2 things have really shocked me. One, I began noticing the pattern to success is vastly the same, but everyone's spot on the path is obviously different. Secondly, I've been shocked and overwhelmed with the number of people asking for my help and my systems and funnels in their business. Well, until now, I've never had a system and product in my own business to help you build yours. And I'm finally able to be public about all this. If you'd like my help to build your offer, sales message, funnel, and even your content machine, go to myofferlab.com. The path to online and offline success is 80% the same, regardless of the product, price point, or industry. And it works if you're new or already a killer in business. You can get more details on how to get my personal attention and frameworks in your own business by going to myofferlab.com. In-person classes are limited to 60 people each, and frankly, I can only do about 2 of these a year. Get more details and even jump on the phone with us for free at myofferlab.com.